Welcome to Ask the Experts, a monthly podcast taking on the latest questions around healthcare legislation and compliance.
Welcome to today's episode of Ask the Experts. With us today is Shelley Bloom, Director of Legislative Awareness and Training. Before we begin today's podcast, I would like to read the following disclaimer. This podcast is designed to highlight various employer benefit matters of general interest to our listeners. It is not intended to interpret laws or regulations or to address specific client situations. You should not act or rely on any information contained herein without seeking the advice of an attorney or tax professional. Shelley, my first question is, can a parent with disabilities be added to the coverage a child has with their own employer?
The answer to that would be no. A parent is not a person who is eligible to be covered on a health plan. So if I think about it as my parent that is disabled and I want to add him or her to my plan, I'm not able to do that. You can add a child. You can add a child with disabilities. You have to prove to the carrier that they need to be there, but not with a parent.
An employer has a set waiting period for their new hires before becoming eligible and offered group health insurance. Is an employer permitted to waive the waiting period for certain new hires?
So the answer to that would generally be no. The employer can't waive the waiting period for certain employees. You may find a carrier who will do that on a one-off basis. But generally, what is written, what is given to the carrier as the waiting period is the waiting period that should exist for all employees.
A parent has a dependent on their plan. At age 26, she ages out of the coverage. She is offered COBRA. She is expecting a child. Can she add her child to the COBRA coverage?
She cannot. She is the child that is on her parents' plan. She has just aged out of that plan because she turned 26. So she is eligible to be on the COBRA plan. When she has her child, she will need to look elsewhere for coverage. A CHIP plan that is offered in the state where the person is, or there may be other coverages that are available based on that state, or an individual plan through healthcare.gov, or the state-based plan where the person lives.
When a person experiences a qualifying life event, such as the birth of a child or a marriage, can the employee make a change to the group health plan they are currently enrolled in?
Yes, they can. These are the times when that is accepted. You're having a major life event, you're getting married, you're having a child. So the plan that you originally chose during that year may not be the one that is suitable now that these qualifying life events have happened. So when you tell your employer that here's what has happened and here's what I'd like to do, they will allow you to make that change in your group health plan from one to a second one that is offered.
Can an FSA, a flexible spending account, dollars, be used to pay for individual coverage for a family member?
The answer is a no to that one. You can use flexible spending account money to pay for copay, coinsurance, deductibles, other 213D related expenses, which is a long list that the IRS gives us, but one of those is not paying for individual coverage for some other family member.
TIC, or Transparency in Coverage Posting. What is it again, and how does it affect employer groups?
Yeah, this is something that kind of comes and goes, but just to explain again what it is, it began in January 1 of 2022, and it required that all employers post a machine-readable file, or MRF. It needed to be posted by July 1 of 2022, and then those MRFs are updated monthly going forward. Now, they apply differently based on the type of insurance that you have. If you are fully insured, your carrier is going to take care of this. They will post the machine-readable file on their website. It is a special type of file that is only read by machines, So machines capture this data and they use it to aggregate with others. And we now see the results that's happening here is that a lot of those companies that are reading these files are displaying what is the actual cost of this, what is the difference between carrier A, carrier B, carrier C. Now, if you are a level funded group and you're small, in most cases, the carriers are going to say, use the same file that is used for your fully insured clients. So there is nothing that the small employer who is level funded has to do. The insurance carrier is posting that file, that MRF file. If you are a large group, whether you are self-insured or level funded, if you have made adjustments to the fully insured type of plan or anything in your level funding contract, you may have something that is different from what the carrier offers to their small insured groups or their fully insured groups. So you may be required to post that MRF or machine readable file on your own website and then be updated by the carrier or by your third party administrator every month. So the employer is responsible to put it on their website and update monthly for large. CMS and the government said it was never their intention to make small employers pay for a website just to house this file. So small employers, especially level funded ones, they can use what the carrier has, and that is it. So this is, again, used for large groups to look at this data. It is not for employees. It is nothing that the employee can read.
If there is no work for a few employees and they are laid off and apply for unemployment, are they permitted to stay on the group health plan?
So generally the answer to this would be no. When a person is not working, they are not actively employed, so they are not permitted to be on the health plan. However, there are times, especially with union contracts, where you may find that this time off is a part of their contract. Think about school employees, and we're fast approaching the end of the school year, so their contract is for the whole year, but for 3 months they're not working. So in that case, they'd be able to be on their plan. There may be other types of situations where that happens, but generally I think what we're looking at is when someone is not employed, they're not working, they are not eligible to continue on that group health plan, and they need to be terminated and they need to be offered mini COBRA, state continuation, or federal COBRA.
An employer has a small workforce in the U.S., less than 15 employees. The same employer has 1,300 employees in locations in England. When counting determine if Medicare is primary or secondary, does the employer add the employees of England?
The answer to that is yes. Now, I know that might sound a little peculiar, but it is in the CMS rules and regulations. So in this case, the employer that has 1,300 employees in England and less than 15 here, you would take the total, so 1,314, let's call it, they would be Medicare secondary. So that's how they would report.
Thank you for listening. Please join us next month for another edition of Ask the Experts.